Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome along to Sports Day, the Monday before the 2020 Grand Final. And it'll be the Tigers and the Cats that go head-to-head. Lachie Neal is the 2020 Brownlow medalist. The Storm have powered their way into the 2020 Grand Final on the Rugby League, and the Vixens take out the netball flag. North Melbourne are most likely looking for a coach, and they're all huge, huge stories, and we'll get to them all. But as we go to air tonight, at 8 minutes past six, such is the speed of the news cycle. The biggest story right now is not the Grand Final, it's not the Brownlow medalist, it's not the Rugby League and the Melbourne Storm, it's that Jeremy Cameron has delivered a hammer blow to the Giants, and he wants out. Scoop, you've been all over this all day, you're right on the money, and you've rattled the Giants' cage to the point where they have finally conceded and put out a press release that Cameron is looking to go to one of the combatants in the Grand Final this week, the Cats. Plenty to talk about with Matthew Lloyd, who's not far away, but first to you, Scoop. This has been a huge day for footy and the Giants. Welcome to you.
It certainly has. Hello, Jared. Good evening, everyone. Huge news. Some people may have think that they tipped it, but not many fully expected it, that Jeremy Cameron was going to walk out on GWS as a restricted free agent and tell them that his preference is the Geelong Footy Club. Now, news and rumours started to filter through early this afternoon. That was just after Jeremy Cameron had a phone conversation with Leon Cameron, the coach.
They had a big meeting last Thursday or Friday. Photo in the paper, Stevie J, Dave Matthews, James Warburton from Channel 7, all painting this marvellous picture about why he should stay. What has ultimately decided this?
Well, that's what we don't know, Jared. There's clearly been a big sell from the Geelong Footy Club.
About the fishing?
We know that he loves his fishing. Now, he's from Dartmoor, which is it's far western Victoria. I think it's not far away from the South Australian border. Jared, you're much more with geography. I bet you're better with geography than I. Geelong's certainly nowhere near it. Not that Melbourne is. It's clearly just the cultural sell of Geelong. It's fascinating though, Jared, because he's constantly said that he loves GWS. Not one thing that he told Leon Cameron today made it sound like there was a problem or an issue with the club, that he thought he could get better at Geelong. I'm told he's earning less than $800,000 a year at Geelong, which was similar-ish money to what he was going to be offered at GWS. So he's not leaving for money.
So why is he leaving?
I don't know. It's only something that Jeremy will have to talk about. Now, Jeremy's partner is Ryan Griffin's sister-in-law.
Yep.
So Ryan Griffin's wife's sister.
Yep.
They are very close, those two couples.
Mm.
They live in rural Victoria, I think about an hour outside of Melbourne. So I think there has been...
What, in the southwest or the northwest or the northeast?
Trust me, I've been trying to find out.
Right.
But I'm not sure there's absolutely anything major that's pulling Jeremy, A, out of Western Sydney, and B, to Victoria.
Let's welcome Matthew Lloyd. It's a big story, this one, Lloydie. I'm not sure whether it's going to be a distraction for Geelong or not. I doubt whether anything's going to distract the players from what's going to happen in 4 or 5 days' time. But it is a big story. Welcome to you.
Thanks, Jared. Sam, yeah, they would have preferred it. The Cats, I think, if it came out after the Grand Final, but they're such an experienced and professional group that it won't affect them at all. You know, they'll be only thinking of one thing, and that's the Premiership Cup. But on Jeremy, he was one of the most intriguing stories of the season. He played disinterested at times.
And, he played distracted, didn't he?
Distracted. He looked off, and everyone's saying, what's wrong with Jeremy Cameron? And I think apart from that game against, I think they played really well against the Dockers, and he played with energy in Perth, and he kicked 4 goals. Really, apart from that, he wasn't the player that we knew he could be. So that had me thinking there must be more to it. Is it his contract? Is there issues there? Is it that he wants out? Is he not happy with the path way of where the Giants are going? There were so many questions I started asking myself. And when you see that he hadn't signed his deal yet, it doesn't now surprise me that he's left. I know it's a big decision to tell your club that you're leaving, but the way he played, it doesn't surprise me that he's moved on. And the way the Cats have played, he'd look at Dangerfield and Selwood and Hawkins and Duncan and all these guys and say, how good would it be to be part of that down at Geelong? And the way they move the ball and the role I could play next to Tommy Hawkins.
Let's just assume he ends up getting to Geelong and he's now out of the picture. Zach Williams is gone. Adam Kaur is gone. It's amazing, I think, we look now right at this club, and it's at a critical stage in its history. They've been on the upward curve for a fair period of time. But right now, history may say that the best they ever did with all those draft picks and all those concessions was a grand final drubbing.
Yeah, that's right, Jared. And they do have to ask themselves the same questions Essendon have to ask themselves. And you know, Essendon, people might say, oh, that you can't compare them because one's an interstate team and they get all taken out of Victoria, whereas a lot of, you know, Saad, you know, was a Victorian, he's left the Bombers. But I think they have to ask themselves why. I don't think any players are leaving Brisbane because they want to be there. And they didn't want to be there 4 or 5 years ago. And I think Leon and Dave Matthews and all the Giants will have to ask themselves why have three players wanted to leave. They may have got reasons. It's about family. But, you know, I didn't see guys like Luke Power want to leave Brisbane. I didn't want to see Simon Black want to leave Brisbane. Back when they were a good club, they lost their way and players wanted to leave. And that's where the Giants have to get to improve and not have players leave.
Lordy, we just put in a call to Dave Matthews. He's not far away from joining us. So just your thoughts on this upcoming game. Given that you've been in great tipping form so far in the finals, like to see your insights. Your early mate, the early mail from Matthew Lloyd.
The early crystal ball predictions.
Before we go to a break.
I didn't have a great preliminary final tipping weekend, so I'll be honest about that. But
it's
just
only two games, Lloyd. You can't have
two
that bad.
Games, but zero from two. I thought the two home ground teams would win, but Port could have. Geelong just smashed the Lions. I just think that they're red hot, Geelong, and Richmond are playing some good footy too. But I just reckon the way Collingwood and obviously Brisbane have allowed Geelong to play the way they want to play, they've controlled the game, they've controlled possession of the ball. They've just done it at will. I just don't think Richmond will allow that. And I think Richmond can win in a number of different ways. I just feel that Geelong, you know, Richmond can stop some of their strengths and they can win a tight one, Jared. I don't think there'll be much in it at all. Both teams full strength, fit, firing. But I think Richmond can get the job done.
Matthew Lloyd is here for McDonald's. You can get a free small fries and Coke with Macca's new McSpicy Palmy Burger. Don't go anywhere because after the break, we're going to have the CEO of Greater Western Sydney, Dave Matthews, to join us live on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
You are listening to Sports Day. It's powered by 100% Australian and gas electricity retail. That's Red Energy. You can make the switch today. Give us a ring on the Harcourts open line if you can. You can talk to us about sport. But if you want to talk real estate, speak to the experts at Harcourts. Dave Matthews, who is the CEO of GWS, to join us shortly. But first, a call. Mark's in South Melbourne. G'day, Mark.
G'day. How are you, guys?
We're good, Mark.
I want to ask you guys, how does Geelong fit all these blokes under the salary cap? Do they have different currency in Geelong or something?
It's a very good question, Mark, and one that I'm sure will be asked several times around the country in the next 24 hours, particularly when we hear confirmation of Sean Higgins also wanting to go to Geelong. But, Lloydy, this is what happens when you have a really well-run club, an experienced man at the helm in Stephen Wells, and they do not overpay players to come to their club.
That's right. And you look at Richmond, and I don't reckon Castagna and Nathan Broad and Liam Baker and Rioli and all, they wouldn't be paid that much. It's hard to get them out of there. You know, look at Menegola and Guthrie. Elite, unbelievable seasons. I couldn't imagine they'd be much above the average wage.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I think that's how it maps out. You know, the top end, they perform brilliantly. I think they'd love where they are and they're very content. So I think they would play for a little bit less. You know, and Dangerfield, Sam, you know that deal. I don't think he came for the exorbitant amount of money that, say, Dusty Martin would be on right now.
Dangerfield would be earning significantly less than Dustin Martin and Stephen Canelio. And
I think the original number for Danger was 800, was it?
Yeah, it's a bit more than that. But it's
But he's re-signed a contract since then.
That's right.
So, I mean, he was unders and others are overs. But the question, Lloydy, is where are the Giants now on the premiership curve? Clearly they've come back a big way now that Cameron has departed their shores. Where does that leave them?
Well, it leaves them with an unbelievable draft hand, which is not probably what they were after because they've had so many good people with the Williams compensation, the Jeremy Cameron compensation. and Aiden Corr, well, they're in a great position, but you'd love to use that to see whether they could land someone who wants to be there and at their club for the next 5-6 years, plus the cream of the crop of their young talent. But it leaves them, you know, you think, could they rebound hard next year? Most of us would have expected it, but losing three quality players like that makes it much more difficult.
Which then puts the pressure on a lot of others who are, possibly only staying because they can smell a premiership. Yeah. I mean, right now, Josh Kelly could turn around and say, I'm going home too.
Yeah, he could. He could. Lloydie, this time last year, I just wonder the conversations going on behind closed doors about, you know, when Wayne Campbell was there and just on his way out, and Dave Matthews and Jason McCartney and Leon Cameron. If we lose Cornelio, he's replaceable. You know, we've got a lot of them coming through, but we can't afford to lose Jeremy Cameron because key forwards who kick lots of goals do not grow on trees. Now, that's no disrespect at all to Stephen Cornelio, and I know people will say it's easier and opportunistic to say that now he's had a poor year, but I think it's fairly evident, Lloydie, that if they lose Cornelio, they keep Cameron.
Yeah. You think so, Sam?
Yep.
Okay, so you're saying that they would have signed him up last year, or
I'm not saying that Cameron is leaving GWS for money, Jared, and I would never go as far as saying that. But they'd be able to offer him a lot more than they're offering him now to make sure that he's happy at GWS.
Because you think it's about money, then, Sam?
No, I don't think it's about money. I don't think that there was anything stopping him from looking at other clubs. And I don't think that there was anything that was making him unhappy there, is my point.
So he wasn't getting overs, in other words.
That's right.
Let's go out to Nick, who'd like to talk about Jeremy Cameron. He may even be able to tell you exactly where Dartmoor is. Welcome to you, Nick.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Just a quick geography lesson, Sam. Dartmoor's in the greater Hamilton region, in the Western District. So compared to Western Sydney, it's right in Jeremy's backyard.
Indeed. If you got to Portland, it's sort of halfway between Portland and Mount Gambier or thereabouts, isn't it?
It's nowhere near Geelong, though, Nick, I think it's fair to say.
It's a lot closer than GWS.
It's a lifestyle of the Western District, I suppose, as much as anything.
Jared, come on. I mean, it's like saying when Lockie Neal was leaving Fremantle, you know, the go-home factor at Adelaide. But Lockie Neal's from nowhere near Adelaide just because it's on the one side of the border.
I reckon Geelong is the home of the Southwest. And right now,
it's a four-hour drive, wouldn't it be?
I reckon it's about three.
Oh, yeah, it's because you speed.
Hey, Jared, can I ask you, Jared, David King going nuts. He has for a while about free agency, what a joke it is, and Lynch to Richmond, and now Danaher will go to Brisbane, and this one with Jeremy Cameron. Is it about clubs getting their house in order, or do you think it has got to that point where the stronger clubs are just getting stronger?
Well, I think the evidence suggests that the stronger clubs get stronger. Now, the Giants are a strong club. They've lost a player, but he hasn't gone to the Kangaroos, for instance. He's gone for, like most players, they go where they either get their financial requirements satisfied and they get their emotional requirements satisfied, which in AFL terms is defined by trying to get a flag.
Jared Healy, Matthew Lloyd and Sam McClure with you on Sports Day, and we're being joined by the boss of GWS, Dave Matthews, who joins us live. Dave, appreciate you coming on. What was your first reaction when you learnt the news of Jeremy's decision?
Oh, look, it was disappointment. I mean, we probably felt this might have been where it was heading, particularly when you see Brian Cook, Sir Geelong come out, which is an unusual thing to do. A couple of, I think late last week or early last week, you think, okay, that's, this campaign for a number of years might come off. But, so we probably felt that we might be disappointed. So, yeah, it is disappointing. I mean, he's a foundation player. He's an outstanding young person. And, this is the risk, I guess, when you've got a lot of talent that comes from the South. And, he's been a terrific player for us. And, so disappointment, yes.
So what's the strategy now that you've freed up some space in your salary cap, and maybe it means others don't have to go, but right now I think your average punter looking at the Giants say they're now back into rebuild mode, and that's not a dramatic rebuild, but you certainly wouldn't be in premiership contention for next year.
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, I still think it's probably more restructure than rebuild. I think our list strategy has been smart, and we've generally shown a good track record of being able to retain the talent we've got. And Jeremy leaves, it provides opportunity for others, and I think it's more of a restructure. I think our list strategy is pretty sustainable. But I was listening to your introduction. It's that's the difficult thing for our agency. I think we're on the record a few years ago as saying that, you know, one of the biggest risks to the expansion clubs in particular was, you know, the free agency system, and it's probably proving that way.
Dave, why do you think Jeremy's leaving GWS for Geelong?
Oh, well, I think, and you know, I'll let him speak to it when you guys access him at some point. But I think you'll find that he's glowing on the club. He, you know, he's helped build it, so you know, the culture is something he's contributed to. He's certainly enjoyed his time at the Giants, and I think he has nothing but good things to say about us. But you know, he's the reasons that get explained are more about family and lifestyle, and you know, his family's largely in the Western District of Victoria, and you know, I think that's a factor. But you know, as you, again, I was listening to the introduction, when if the Geelong was bottom four, I don't think he'd be going there, would he?
No, but it's not as though the Giants are struggling. I mean, I know you guys have had a tough year on the field, but the most successful of all the teams in the previous 4 years when it comes to finals, it doesn't sound like Geelong are throwing a million plus bucks at him. So it's just, I'm fascinated as to why he's leaving GWS for Geelong. I mean, we just discussed it. It's a 3.5 hour drive from where he grew up. So it's not as though it's close.
No, but I still think it's just, you know, the sort of southern-based nature of the game. I mean, I know Jared's been an advocate for this for some time, that it's just, you know, we've got to be mindful of the fact that, you know, players are largely managed out of Victoria, players are largely sourced out of Victoria or the southern states. I mean, it's I think there's, you know, it's an inherent bias, and you're working against it when you're trying to retain players. And, you know, what we've been able to do is build a strong culture, and we've had on-field success, and they've been the keys to our retention. But that's not to say from time to time, you know, a Victorian player who gives you 10 years service doesn't take up the option that the system provides him.
Do you think if you had access to Kohler, Dave, that it would have been easier to keep Jeremy?
Yeah, look, I mean, I got flagged last week. I know Kohler has an acronym, has a lot of people up in arms. Look, in the end, there's just an inherent market difference between, you know, the various cities in Australia where AFL clubs are based. I mean, I grew up in Geelong. The cost of living difference is probably 20% on Sydney, maybe more from a property point of view. So, you know, I've said this before, and it's not an issue that just arises out of circumstances around Jeremy Cameron. It's just that the same TPP dollars don't mean you've got the same purchasing power. That's just fact. And you can't really dispute that fact, but that's not to say that, you know, we'd expect any adjustment. It's just, it's there for people to see, but whether or not it eventuates, I mean, it's, I think, you know, part of my point last week about the market differences in costs are, you know, also attributable to the soft cap that football staff, as we've had to reduce soft caps and therefore renegotiate employment agreements, it gets more difficult to attract or retain football expertise in Sydney. I mean, I was talking to Tom Harley about it. He agrees that, you know, that sort of gets a bit amplified, or certainly amplified by the reduction in the soft cap. So I think, you know, the market differences are one that we just got to have a mature discussion about, but it tends not to be too mature if we throw the acronym of COLA around.
Hey, Dave, watching
it might
Jeremy...
be the new acronym.
Sorry, Dave. Watching Jeremy Cameron play this late in the year, you could just sense something wasn't right. And in your chats with him, did Jeremy talk to you, or, you know, Zach Williams or Aidan Corr, about that? Was it about money for Jeremy? The contract was playing on his mind with what had his form go off, or is there something within the team and the dynamic of the team that he wasn't also happy with, which has led to this decision?
Oh, look, with Jeremy, I think, you know, by his own admission, he found the year very hard. He found the hub circumstances very, very difficult. And I think we've seen examples of where some people have been able to thrive in those circumstances and others have found it hard. I think, you know, the contract situation from our discussions with him wasn't something that would have affected his form too much. But I just know that, you know, by his own admission, he found the circumstances of the hub difficult. Yeah, and Zach Williams' situation, I mean, that's a, you know, significant offer for a young man. That's you know, that's effectively a money decision. But, you know, I don't see Jeremy's as one.
Can I ask you about Josh Kelly, Dave? There was a clause, I think it was a 2-year get-out clause, or a clause where he was able to go back to Melbourne if he wanted to, or another club. Is that up now, and is he a flight risk, or is it this time next year?
No, it's this time next year, Jared. Yeah, so there was it's an option that we discussed at the time about, you know, what it would look like if he decided to extend beyond the initial two years. So, yeah, those discussions have pretty much commenced, and things that we'll keep talking about.
Dave, can I ask what was on the menu from a conversation standpoint at Rockpool last week when you had lunch with Jeremy and Stevie J and James Warburton, the head of Seven?
Yeah, look, it's a very open and honest conversation. I've known Jeremy since he was 16, 17. He's in the AS Academy. So, you know, we've got a close relationship. We talk about a lot of things. He's very honest about, you know, the factors that were weighing on his mind and his nieces and nephews and his parents and other things. So, yeah, we talked a bit about all that. We talked about some of the things that he's been thinking about beyond footy. I mean, he's obviously, his major passion's fishing, so that was a big part of the discussion. And, yeah, James Warburton, he's a friend, but he's also obviously a big investor in the game of AFL, and he's a big supporter of the Giants. So it's just an opportunity to have a bit of a broader discussion. And Stevie J's a good mate of Jeremy's too. So it was really just a catch-up that we actually intended to have right on the eve of the season. But then with the pandemic hitting, you know, obviously you can't have players sitting at restaurants with members of the sort of general public. So we held it off, but just scheduled it last week. And it was a discussion and obviously aimed at continuing to sort of try to reassure him that this is the place to, you know, be a one club player and finish his career. But, you know, obviously at the present time, that's not to be. And he's, you know, we need to go through the process, Sam, as he's a restricted free agent. You know, it's highly likely that we would match the offer from our understanding of what it's likely to be. And then the ball's in Geelong's court to see whether they can satisfy us with the trade.
What's he worth, Dave?
Well, Treloar and Shield were worth two first-round picks, so they're both very good players, but key forwards are hard to find, so I'm not sure.
Dave, would you like some seniority, some players to come back in of note and quality, or to use those picks to get elite talent? So you've got enough young players, so would your preference be to get a quality player back through the door?
I think so, mate. I think it's probably a mix. I mean, that's just talking to Jason McCartney a bit about over the last week or so. This will be obviously one that he drives and with Adrian Caruso and Leon, but, potentially a mix.
Well, you picked up a ripper in Riccardi and you got that out of the blue. It was a great get by your recruiting staff. All eyes are going to be on him to see how he develops. You've got a couple of other options, Finlayson and Himmelberg, which is a bit of a pity because I reckon Himmelberg might have ended up in the back half had Jeremy stayed. But you've still got plenty of pillars there. But the real challenge now is to get back up and contend.
No doubt, Jared. No doubt at all. But we're going to work as hard as we can. And this next trade period is going to be very interesting.
Dave, really appreciate you coming on. I know it's a disappointing result for the club, but onwards and upwards. And we'll chat to you soon.
No problem. Cheers.
Dave Matthews there, the CEO of the Giants.
First player ever scooped to be lured by a bluefin tuna.
Oh, very good. I think that trade is going to be difficult. It'll get done, but there's no way they'll
win the match. I mean, unfortunately, Dave got a little bit garbled there just as he was giving us the punchline. But he was setting up, it seems to me, to say that he's worth more than two first rounders.
Yeah, I don't think they'll get more than that, in my opinion. He's obviously a 50-a-year player, and he'll be that at Geelong. So he's probably a better player, in my opinion, than Treloar and Dylan Shields. So that's what they'd be saying. But it's interesting also, he said there where Brian Cook's probably been in there for a couple of years chasing. So smart from Geelong, they played it well, but bitterly disappointing for the Giants.
They got a few first-round picks, of course, because of what happened with Tim
They've
Kelly.
They've got three.
Yeah, well, now look for that. Carlton's pick at seven, Geelong will be more interested in trading to get to that pick, which Carlton think that'll help get Saad because they don't want to give seven for Saad. And maybe it'll be more attractive for the Giants if, you know, the difference, Jared, between a first-round pick being 16 and a top tenner.
They're almost different rounds, aren't they?
Well, you would think so. I mean, that's what the stats suggest. So If they get two first-round picks for him, but one of them's pick seven, that changes things.
That said, Lloydie, last night, a young man of 27 years of age was picked up as a third-round pick, and he was honoured with the Brownlow Medal. We'll get your thoughts on that after the break.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today. Time for a Sports Day news update for Tyre Power. Awarded Canstar Blue's most satisfied customers again.
Welcome back to Sports Day, our news update for Tyre Power. If you're just tuning in for the first time on Sports Day, Jeremy Cameron has told GWS he wants to explore free agency. He's also told the club that his preference is to go to Geelong. We just spoke to Dave Matthews, the CEO, who has all but confirmed that they will match an offer and probably want two first-round picks and maybe even a little bit more, Jared. But you wanted to hear from Lloydie on Lachie Neale, which was a great night last night.
Indeed it was, and it was a great victory. We'll get back and have a chat about the Giants and the model of funding, etc., at the end of the program. But Lachie Neale last night, it was just about over after about round seven, as all the experts had suggested, Lloydie.
Yeah, you obviously got three votes in round two, three, four and five, and it was pretty much over by that stage. But I just loved hearing what he had to say at the start of the year. He's a Brownlow medalist for a reason, and he goes to the extra lengths that other players don't want to go to. He spoke about getting more metres gained, kicking more goals, doing things that, you know, I reckon he would have learned a fair bit from Nathan Fyfe and the will and desire that he has. So I thought Lachie Neale, Travis Boak, Petrarca, Jack Steele, probably the top four, was perfect, but I don't like the fact that, you know, Hawkins gets 11 votes and Tim Kelly, who I thought was just okay this year, gets 11 votes. So I suppose that's always how it's going to be with players around the contest. But Nick Nat didn't get many votes, so love to see I don't know how it can happen, but how players in key positions can get a few more and be rewarded for their efforts.
Hard to fathom that Nick Nat didn't get many votes, Jerry.
I found it hard.
It's hard to fathom, given the impact that he has on games.
Yes, there's always the anomalies in
there
each
is.
And every
yes.
Brownlow medal. It's voted on by humans. It's not a statistics-based scenario as far as champion data. They could pick out their Brownlow medal. I'm not sure who was their Brownlow medalist this year, but I think Lachie Neale would have been pretty close.
Yep, he certainly would have been. Now, one man that's probably not high up in the Brownlow medal votes count, Jared, across his career is Tom Stewart, but I reckon if you talk to anyone at Geelong, he'd be high up just in about any other award. He joins us next live on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
Welcome back to Sports Day for the all-new game-changing Kia Sorento. It's landed. You can find out more at kia.com.au. Before we have a chat to Tom Stewart, Lloydie, I could just reflect on a moment watching the Port Adelaide-Richmond game. One of the scariest bits of vision I saw was after each and every Richmond goal, and there huddled around together was Daisy, Shai Bolton, Kane Lambert. There was a bloke called Riewoldt, another one called Lynch and Rioli. And you just looked at that group all hand in hand or shoulder to shoulder and you thought, gee, it'd be a scary thought for a Geelong defender having a look at this.
Well, Tom Stewart would normally go, yeah, I'll take this guy. He's a number six forward. I'm not sure who the number six is at Richmond. That's how well they're travelling.
I'm not sure anyone scares Tom Stewart, to be honest. But let's ask him, Tom. Welcome to the program and congratulations of what will be your first grand final.
Thanks for having me, boys, and thanks for having
me. No, I wasn't having a go at you. I know that you're the weapon, and I saw Cam Ellis-Yolman came at you. So that must be something that you've come a long way, Tom, from a late starter to people putting time and effort into you.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting sort of thing to deal with in a prelim. The big fella Cam Ellis-Yolman came straight to me, but that was obviously a great result of the night, and looking forward to playing on the weekend very much.
It is one of those matchups, though. I mean, everybody, I think it's Richmond's flag until someone takes it off them. They're that sort of club at this stage, on the verge of dynasty. But you guys have been there and thereabouts for a long period of time, and we look at the strength of their forward line, but then we look at the strength of your back line, and you've conceded very few goals in recent times. Your pressure through the middle is red hot. It's a game that is going to be exciting to run out and play, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely, Jared. I think you hit the nail on the head. Both teams have got some amazing defences, amazing midfields, and amazing forward lines. So it's going to be red hot for the entire game. And as I said before, I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to play in the grand final and represent the footy club.
The most discussed issue this week, will be what did Geelong do about Dusty? So we might as well go inside the camp, Tom, and you can give us all the secrets. What are we going to do when Dusty goes into the middle? And what are we going to do when he goes to that high forward position?
I won't give away too much, but obviously he's an amazing player, Dusty, and we've got to be super aware of him wherever he is on the ground. I think in the past we've had multiple blokes go through him, myself and Jake Colajasny and Mark O'Connor have all had opportunities to play on him. So when he comes forward, that'll be our opportunity to help the team. And then obviously when he stays up around the stoppages, we've got to sort of match him and go head-to-head with him and Dion and Shane Edwards and the like in there. So it's going to be, as I said, a lot of fun.
Tom, to use the words of your coach after the win on the weekend, Richmond have been clearly the best side in it for the last three or four seasons. From a defender's perspective, what makes them so hard to beat?
I just think they throw sort of everything as a forward group at you. They've obviously got the two targets there with Lynchy and Jack Rewald that fly for the ball and take those big contested marks. But on the ground, their nippy forwards are really hard to maintain and sort of can get off the chain if you don't give them respect on the ground. So they've got every aspect covered as a forward line. And then, obviously, again, they throw Dusty down there who kicks some miraculous goals and does some amazing things with ball. So you've just got to be 99.9% of the time, you've just got to give yourself every opportunity to compete and have a crack down there.
Just on that then, Tom, they also get Lambert and Bolton and Rioli. They all push up quite high and can hurt on the way back. So do you have to... Is it within you as a defender to decide when to go and when to sit back? Or Matty Scala has different roles for each person. Who does what?
Yeah, well, I think we'll obviously get through the detail during the week and understand what we sort of have to do as a defensive group to try and nullify that. But I think the way that we've been defending so well in the last 2 weeks especially is we've been playing the game up in our half and we've actually been defending quite high. So I don't think we'll be changing too much come grand final day. It'll sort of be a battle of wills who can get a game on their terms. So, as you said, like I've got some really nifty blokes who can get out of backing you, but I think we'll back our system in and try and win on our terms.
It's an amazing week. It's different to every other week. This time, most weeks in football season, we're reviewing pretty strongly, but in grand final week, we almost forget the review and we punch on very quickly to what's ahead. But what would be the main element that Chris Scott would be hammering home from your review, which was a game of two halves? They were pretty competitive up until halftime and then you really just throttled away.
Yeah, so we've got our first session tomorrow, so we'll come in and get moving and start doing our craft session and our small group stuff, and then we'll have our review tomorrow. So without knowing too much, I dare say that we'll move on fairly quickly and, as I said, move on to the detail of Richmond.
Been a pretty big 48 hours for the footy club into a grand final, and some would say the best forward in the competition has committed to going there. Not sure if you've read too much of the Jeremy Cameron news in the last couple of hours, Tom?
I obviously got worded up before the interview, Sam. So I'm obviously aware of the situation. And what do you want to know?
Well, how excited you are to have someone like Jeremy joining your team potentially?
No, well, again, it's all potential. He's obviously a required player at GWS, and it's up to Wellesley and our staff to get that job done. I obviously knew the question was going to come, and I'm probably going to straight back this one and just say I'm obviously super excited that he's chosen that, but I'm focused wholeheartedly on the grand final at the Richmond.
I am interested, Tom, into exactly if you were given specific words from the media Kevin manager Diggerson, when you were worded
Kevin
up.
Kevin Diggerson would have given you a handwritten note as to what to say.
Hey, Tom, one last one.
Definitely not handwritten.
were you told, though, as a group that Jeremy had chosen Geelong before it was made public through the media, though?
No, I only found out this afternoon through the media release. I had no idea. Obviously, everything that goes on in the footy world at the moment is all pretty pretty new and pretty fresh to everyone that finds out. So, I only found out through the media. I had no idea.
Tom, it's been a great haul. You've been part of it. A lot of joy getting to prelim finals and then the great sadness and disappointment of losing them. Well, you've gone one better.
Yep.
And you're only four quarters away from achieving what every player hopes to achieve. So good luck. Thanks for your company tonight. And have a great week and a big game I was going to say at the G. It is at the G. It's at the Gabba.
Thanks, guys.
Tom Stewart there, star defender with the Cats. Not many get past him on the field, and given he's just forming that interview, I don't think many get past him off the field either. He straight bats everything. We loved it. This is Sports Day for Kia and Red Energy. More with Matthew Lloyd after this. You are listening to Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Big hour ahead. We're going to talk trades. We're going to be expansive with our talk of trades because it is, Jared, apart from the small game of football happening on Saturday night, not Saturday afternoon, the other 16 teams that aren't involved will be talking about trades. But we're going to start tonight with what we've been doing most Mondays and Tuesdays at this time, and that is doing our team reviews of clubs that are no longer involved. And tonight it's the Brisbane Lions who, unceremoniously, I think, were knocked out of the finals race, Jared, by a rampant Geelong.
Yeah, they were rampant in that second half, weren't they? The Lions got away to a reasonable start. Charlie Cameron getting involved, a couple of goals early in the piece, kicked the first one, looked as if they were cherry ripe.
They were knee-deep in the game, in the contest.
Half-time, they were less than a goal behind.
Mm.
And yet they just struggled to find any sort of method in that second half. The disappointment to me was their midfield. Absolutely. They got beaten around the ball. Badly. You take Lachie Neal's third quarter and second quarter out of that game, even his last quarter, and they got completely smashed. They got absolutely...
By a good midfielder, must be said.
A good midfield, but their very best midfielder played a large proportion of the game forward. Up in the forward line. So they were poor. They were really poor. Steph Martin had a bad game. There'll be question marks about him, but I would really encourage Steph Martin to go on. He missed a few games and struggled with injury a bit this year, but there's no doubt there's been a changing of the guard there with the big O's. Had a fantastic season. But Steph Martin's a fantastic second option who I think still warrants a spot in the side. I don't think Archie Smith is going to knock him out anytime soon. But really, you know, Daniel Rich had a really good year but didn't have a great game. Their back line was okay. You know, Andrews did well to come back from that savage hamstring injury. All up, they've had a fantastic year. But it just goes to show to go from where they were to be the hardened unit and win a flag doesn't happen all that often. Doesn't happen very often at all. And they once again proved that, you know, you need to go through that hardening process that the Geelong side have gone through, for instance. Richmond have gone through it through some wins and some losses in the last, what have they been in, about the last finals campaigns?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right, because everyone talks about, you know, the last home and away game of 2016, I think, when Richmond got smashed by the Swans by more than 100 points, and then less than 12 months later, or 12 months later, they were playing in a grand final. But they had been building for years previously to that. I think everyone just misses the fact that, yes, they got beaten by 100 points. But you said this, I think, on Thursday when we were talking about the preview, Jared, is that, you know, it has been a quick uprising for this young Lions side, and their jump has been a big one. The linear progression of their finals is something that we have to look at. You know, they made the top four last year. They were kicked out in straight sets. This year they went one better and went into a preliminary final. And hopefully next year they'll look at the progression. But I guess, so what do you think? Do you think this will just happen organically within
Never
the Lions?
Never happens organically.
So do they need to, well, what do you think they need to change to improve?
I think that they need to get better through the middle.
Okay.
And
with personnel or with system or both?
Not so much system. I think, you know, the midfielders systematically, you know, they work it out. I think once they're all up and about, they're fantastic. But I just think that they probably need to introduce a bit more Cam Rayner. I think he needs to get some more minutes in that side.
Instead of just playing forward.
I think Alice Yeoman, I think they would have to concede, hasn't worked. I would have liked to have seen them play Coleman, the youngster, rather than Ellis Yeoman. I know he's a big body, but he's 27. He's played about 40-odd games. I'm just not sure that he's the answer. He's a depth player for mine.
Yeah.
At most, I wouldn't have made that late change. Jared Lyon had a great season but struggled during the day. Jared Berry struggled.
Berry did struggle.
But he had a very poor preparation. I know he had a reasonably good first final. I mean, he had
very
a very
poor.
Good first final. Very poor. But he missed the last couple of games with a shoulder injury.
On the couch later.
Then he had a break.
Yeah,
which I'm not big on. Then he had a good game, and then he had another break, and then he had a poor game. So he had an interrupted preparation for what was a very big test for him. Fantastic young player. He needs to be able to elevate himself to best and fairest stroke, all Australian, stroke Brownlow medal contention over the next 12 months. And when he gets there, and I'm absolutely confident he will, along with Hugh McCluggage, who I think also should be an All-Australian wingman, probably should have got there last year in the squad this year. You know, they've got four or five real guns that I think can organically grow, but I reckon they need another one. And maybe Cockatoo from Geelong will be that person if they can get the holy water working.
So, holy water. Well, it's worked for a couple of them.
Oh, absolutely.
It's worked for Charlie Cameron. It's worked for Grant Birchall. They're going to try to
put... Not sure it works so much for Birchall, but...
They're going to try to put the holy water into Jared Danaher.
Is he going to drink it or is he going to lather it on?
Well, I guess the proof will be in the pudding.
Lincoln McCarthy's the other one where the holy water worked.
Yeah. What about Rayner, Jared? Do you see him as potentially being able to do a Christian Petrarca? I know they're different players, but maybe similar early problems in their career is that neither of them were said to have much of a tank.
Mm.
Both are big ball winners. Petrarca, we know, started his career mainly as a forward and now, you know, could be in, well, was in Brownlow contention this time 24 hours ago. Can Rayner do that? Can he have, if he gets himself ultra fit?
I don't know if he's got the upper
body strength.
No, the upper levels of Petrarca.
I see.
From a numbers perspective, but I would think he can get 20 a game. And if he can get 20 a game, that's enough for me.
20 meaningful disposals.
20 possessions average. His disposals are meaningful. So I haven't got a question with his ball use. He's just got to get more of it.
Yep.
And there's only one answer for that. And bear in mind, this kid's 20.
He's a baby.
So let's just give him some time. A lot of people want to write him off or underscore his potential. But I still think he's got a massive upside. And if you're looking for the organic growth, it's with him. It's with Zach Bailey.
Yep.
Thank you. Good to have the old Scragger back.
Thinks the Bulldogs win the flag next year ridiculously.
Indeed. Mm. Not happy about his man going to the Bombers, though.
No, not at all. What, Josh Dunkley?
Mm.
Won't happen.
Won't happen?
No, I don't think so.
Knocked out on the head? Are they going to get anybody over there? you can tell us that later on, Scoop.
Yeah, okay.
So I think that they've got some potential there. Even Stašević could go through the middle of the ground. But
I like Stašević.
Yeah, he's been one of their finds. Look, all in all, it was a really disappointing finish. But
when you look at the totality of the season,
when you look at the totality of the 4 years under Chris Fagan, it's a huge J-curve.
Yep.
Went down a little bit, and now they are charging to the top.
They're peaking, yep. And they add Joe Danaher,
Who knows?
Who knows, Jared?
Scragger
knows. What's that going to do? What's he going to do to that forward line? I mean, he could change everything. He could change nothing.
Well, let's just say, as Scragger has predicted, he kicks 60 goals next year.
Is that what he's predicted?
He's predicted 60 goals next year for
really?
The Brisbane Lions. If he does that, then you got a pretty powerful unit. Given that Hipwood, I think, has really improved.
Can Hipwood and McStay all play in the same forward line?
Oh, no doubt.
Really?
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay.
McStay's a question mark as far as has he got another level. I think McStay's a real chance to become a second ruckman.
Really?
I like McStay as a forward second ruck,
okay.
Which may put some more pressure
on the man who's been injured that you talked about before.
Correct.
Where's he gone? Who's the ruckman for Brisbane? Stephen Martin.
And he's going to put more pressure on Stephen Martin to hold his spot unless Martin comes back.
So you think he could be the big O and then McStay,
yeah.
As almost like a Richmond type setup where
absolutely.
They don't really go in with a second ruckman, but they use him as one.
Pretty good option, don't you reckon?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no,
I've seen him in the ruck. He can ruck, and he's a bloody good field kick.
I think the days of having two genuine ruckmen in a team are all but over, unless that other second ruckman can play another position for 80% of the game.
And we'll talk about that when we have a look at Port Adelaide next week, tomorrow.
Yes, we will, who are a very different story and went out of the finals in very different circumstances. So as we always do, Jared, based on expectations, out of 10, the Brisbane Lions for season 2020 get?
8.
Only an 8?
8. Well, my expectations were they'd win a final.
And they won a final?
Won a final. Went out. 8. Overexpected.
Jeez, you're harsh, man. I'd love to see when you give it 10.
Well, 10 was a flag.
Right.
And they weren't that far away.
No.
Weren't that far away. I wonder had they lost the first final against the Tigers.
If we'd be talking about them as a grand finalist.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wonder if Port Adelaide had lost the first game as a final.
You're talking specifically because of the break?
Yeah.
No. I hate that as an excuse.
Well, you can hate it all you like.
Well, I do.
But
Best team
it's
just
an
wins,
unknown
though.
That's only just come into football. And
yeah, but Jerry, we can't be complaining about too much rest, can we?
Absolutely. You know my theory about the body. It's a machine. It doesn't like rest.
Ever?
You can have rest when you've won the flag. Then you can rest as long as you like.
This is Sports Day. We'll be right back after this. Don't go anywhere.
That's what Monday to Friday's for,
Jared,
rest.
Jared and I are going to be
is for the work.
Picking apart the upcoming trade period. The biggest domino so far has fallen. Jeremy Cameron, well, he's going to the Cats. Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Well, we started with a team review of the Brisbane Lions. Let's look more to a bit of a preview. Let's be honest, Jared. It's not a preview. Trade news is happening 365 days of the year now. It doesn't stop. And the news confirmed tonight that not a lot of people were expecting, I think. Some people might claim that they knew that it was happening. But
I predicted this scoop.
Oh, yeah, because you said the fishing was better
the
in Geelong.
The fishing is better in the southwest of Victoria than anything you've got up on the New South Wales coast, with maybe one or two exceptions, but on a day-to-day basis.
Yes.
If that is why the boy is moving or selecting his club,
yep.
He was a certainty to go down to Moggs Creek, somewhere between Moggs Creek and probably Janjuk. Maybe Ocean Grove might be more his go, but somewhere within striking distance of the Cattery.
So if you're just tuning in for the first time,
this is a fishing. I always want to do a fishing
you're
show.
You're screaming at the radio saying, what the hell is Jared on about with the fishing? Jeremy Cameron, star forward at GWS, restricted free agent, has informed the club today that he's exploring his free agency options and that his preference is to go to Geelong. That is significant news, given that Geelong are just about to go into a grand final and the Giants have obviously had the year from hell that's continued.
Well, just 30 seconds after I said I tipped this, Scragger, our producer, said, no, you didn't.
Oh,
I trumped you 12 months ago when Alex McDonald came on Trade Radio, and this is what he had to say.
The most important part for Jeremy is getting the decision right. And if it means that he has to sort of wade through some speculation and some intense focus on what his future looks like. Off the back of the year this year, you know, making a grand final, I think he's pretty buoyed about what 2020 holds for the Giants.
So you think, Alex, that Jeremy will go through the majority of 2020 with that speculation?
Possibly, yeah. I couldn't. Oh, Jeremy, I can't speak for Jeremy. I know at the moment he's away in Bali, enjoying what's been a great year for the club.
Great year.
And he had a great year himself.
Yep.
And I think, you know, our last discussion was let's focus on that, you know, early next year. We'll have some discussions, but, yeah, he's really settled at the Giants.
It's a long bow for Scragger to draw, suggesting that is an eye tip this moment.
How does Brooksy remember that interview and I wasn't, and I was involved?
You were there. Which concerns me a little bit. Hasn't life changed? We're talking about the Giants in a flag in a grand final. We're talking Jeremy Cameron kicking 60-plus goals, all Australian, and holidaying in Bali.
Yeah, they say
none of the above. You can tick those boxes right now.
Great point. It's funny because
so will he get there, or are they going to match the trade?
Well, both, I reckon. I mean, the thing is with these...
How can they match the trade?
Yeah. So my
they'll match the cash.
My understanding
so
is
then
that
they have to trade.
He's earning about... He'll be earning about 750K a year at Geelong.
Yep.
GWS's offer would have been somewhere around that mark.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's leaving.
But
he's not leaving
age.
For money. Yes, the restricted part means that they can match.
Yeah.
So it means
and then he has to stay, doesn't he?
No, he can still go, but it means they have to organise a trade.
Right. As against a free agent, you can just walk.
Technically, a restricted free agent, if you match, means that, you know, we're willing to give you the same contract. It's not a money decision, so he's not going to stay. So he'd say, okay, you've matched, now organise a trade. The reason that the Giants would do that is because of how high up Geelong have finished on the ladder. How high the Giants finished on the ladder. The best pick that they could get for him, if Cameron was offered, you know, $1 million a year for 10 years, and it was the best offer out there, and the Secret Herbs and Spices said, righto, you get first round pick. It's the pick straight after GWS. Now, GWS Scragger finished, what, 11th?
After GWS or after the Cats?
No, it'd have to be GWS's pick.
Okay.
That's right, isn't it? Because when Hawthorn lost Lance Franklin as one of the first free agents, they only got pick 19 because they finished first that year.
Okay.
Yep. So it would be the pick after the team who's losing him, which is, in this case, GWS.
Okay, so GWS finished in...
It was 11th, wasn't
10th or 11th position.
Yeah, so it's pick 8 or 9.
That's right.
But that's going to get pushed back.
That's going to get pushed back by about 8 or 9 too because of father-son's
well, let's
academy
call it,
picks.
Let's call it 5, right? So it's a low to mid-teens pick, which is nowhere near his worth, is it?
No.
What would you value Cameron at, Jared? Just
what is a draft pick?
Yeah, is he two first round picks? Is he three? Is he a top 10 pick? Is he like?
Well, if you go through recent sort of events, Dylan Shiel was two first round picks. Well,
he's more than that.
He's a better player than Dylan Shiel.
Yeah, and harder to come by because of the position that he plays.
If you're talking about his year this year, he's one first round pick.
That's right.
Joe Danaher hasn't played a lot. Got a problem with his body. Potentially is a positive receiver of the holy water.
Yeah,
he may well come good. I'm not sure what the market is for that. But can I just say on a broader point?
Yeah.
We've had this debate with the Players Association for a long period of time. The Players Association are desperate for free agency.
Yep.
Who's free agency helping? The dud clubs down the bottom?
No, it's the good clubs up the top.
Or the good clubs up the top?
Yeah, we've seen that.
Joe Danaher.
Tom Lynch.
Joe's not going to North Melbourne.
No.
He's going to Brisbane.
No. Yep.
Now,
who just played in a prelim?
There is a rare exception. Lachie Neal went from Fremantle to Brisbane. Mm-hmm. That was a rare exception. The exception proves the rule rather than the other way. Tom Lynch leaves the Gold Coast. He signs with the Tigers. They've won a flag. He's still signed with the Tigers. And
Lance Franklin went to Sydney, not GWS.
Correct. So as much as people like to, believe in fairy tales, it is not an equalisation process. This is a de-equalisation process.
Completely agree. Absolutely. But you've started the bowling ball on the way down the alley now. You're not going to stop it. Like, you're just not. Free agency's only going to become more prevalent, not less prevalent. But I agree with you. It's I guess Gillon McLachlan and his team at the AFL, Jared, wants to get it to a point where the competition is so even that player movement doesn't necessarily...
There's always sides up the top and sides down the bottom.
That's right, there is.
I mean, look at North Melbourne. They thought they were flying 2 years ago.
And about to get Dustin Martin. They thought.
They thought they were going to get dusty.
So they thought, yep.
Thought you were going to break a news story. And right now they're they're in a huge hole. Some people don't think it's a much bigger hole than Brisbane were 4 years ago. I'd probably argue the toss and say, despite the fact that they've had a lot of rising star nominations over the last couple of years,
yeah,
I still think they're a fair way off because Goldstein won't be there
in
3 or 4 years' time when the Brisbane Lions of the comparison play in a prelim final.
Yep.
Sean Higgins won't be there.
Yep.
The skipper won't be there. Their best player at fullback.
Tarrant.
Robbie Tarrant is unlikely to be there. 32 for memory, Robbie Tarrant.
He's about that, yeah.
I mean, he's at the end of
his
career.
Got a couple of years left, yeah. So
there's got a lot of people to replace.
I'm always interested in the inner workings of behind the scenes. Mm. So if you look at, say, compare it to Adam Saad, right? Two teams that hate each other and two clubs that are difficult to work with when it comes to trades, right? So Adam Saad could go down to the last minute.
Yep.
GWS and Geelong are probably on the other side, reputationally.
Yep.
Both very, very amicable clubs. They get stuff done. They do trades all the time. Stephen Wells is open and upfront. Jason McCartney is the exact same. But his value is so difficult to come up with because GWS, this isn't, if GWS lost Canelio last year, Jared, I don't think there would have been one person at GWS that was overly worried.
That's what they got plenty of.
About their midfield. Right.
That's why that was their biggest mistake.
Yeah, and by the way, if Canelio leaves, Cameron stays.
Yeah, but that's my point.
Yeah, and the club will deny that and say, well, you can't. It's that black and white. Mm. Canelio goes. There's $1 million that they don't have to worry about.
Does this mean Josh Kelly stays or not?
Stays. Yep.
Even though he's got an option to go.
Got an option to go. Yeah. He's not going to get $1 million a year anywhere else on his current form. So I'd be taking it if I was Josh.
Possibly, unless he's desperate to come home.
That's right. Or unless he has a blinder year.
Because he's not
getting
$1 million. He's getting $1 million less the whatever the deduction is.
10%, yeah.
So 800. So he's going to get 750 to 800 when he comes back to Melbourne. If he comes back to Melbourne.
Yeah, I agree.
So, what I'm trying to get to is we are on the precipice. This is a very, very fragile moment in the history of the Giants.
Completely agree.
If Kelly walks out in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Which I think at the moment is unlikely.
But Phil Davis is got a year left.
Yes, he'll stay.
Well, he's definitely staying.
Yeah.
But, all of a sudden they've lost two serious players.
Yeah, they've lost their best forward and arguably best defender of the last 10 years.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this is a club that was started the year as a premiership co-favourite.
Yeah.
And will be lucky to be, $3 for the finals.
For a final, yeah. And the other thing, Jared, and you talked about this halfway through the year, in fact, I think you were the first one to talk about this positional change, but everyone at GWS was had penciled in Himmelberg at centre back. Yeah. That's gone now. They can't play him at centre back. I mean, they hope that Riccardi will come on leaps and bounds, but at the end of the day, he's a baby. He's a first-year player. Finlayson had a really bad year. They hope he'll turn it around. And Himmelberg
wasn't that bad, Finlayson.
Sorry.
They dropped him. He wasn't sorry. That bad.
Apologies. But really bad. Comparatively to his previous seasons, it was a poor year.
But
he got
going
dropped.
Up, he's going to have to go up the ladder and be the number one.
Well, I assume Himmelberg will be number one.
No.
You think Finlayson, because he's bigger?
Well, I would still go Himmelberg at centre-back.
And just deal with...
Have a different structure. You don't have to have three tools. It hasn't worked for them.
No, that's right. That's right. And they hope Green will play more. But he'll probably play more as a permanent forward rather than the midfield role he's been playing.
Anyway, move on. That's enough of Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah, it's probably enough of Jeremy Cameron. It's not enough of trade talk, though. So we're going to take a break here on Sports Day, all for Wilson Homes, and come back with a bit more.
Welcome back to Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. And don't forget, Scoop, just to put this on the record, Lachie Neal is our giant performer of the day for winning the Brownlow Medal last night in a canter. A massive 31 votes from 17 games.
Unbelievable season.
Let's get back to Trade Talk Part 2.
And by the way, you and I thinking that he might run out of steam at the end of the year. Like he did, by the way. He did. But
the
there was no one come. Chasing him.
The others came. I'll tell you what the game that sealed it. North Melbourne.
Yeah.
He wasn't in their best five players that day.
Did he get three votes?
He got three. He wasn't in their best five or six.
Do you think, can I just start? This is nothing against the umpires, by the way, and I'm saying this with my tongue firmly in my cheek, but there's a little bit of seriousness about it. Do you think at all the Brownlow favouritism, Jared, becomes a bit self-fulfilling?
Oh, momentum.
An umpire sort of goes into a game being like, and I reckon this happened with Chris Judd.
It happened with the commentary team as well.
That's right. That's Lachie Neal. You know, like, what he did must have been good because it was Lachie Neal, not the other way around.
Well, look, let's not take away from the season. It was one of the great seasons. It was one of the best five matches in a row that anyone has put together when he was kicking goals in the first five or six weeks of the year.
Yeah.
And from then on, he just kept on producing high-quality games, some of which he got votes for. Others were better than others. But
he got more votes than two clubs put together.
10 BOGs. That's not a bad start.
Goodness gracious, mate. How many BOGs would you have got the year you won it? You remember off the top of your head? Half a dozen? Okay. Back on our trade preview, we just spent a segment talking about Jeremy Cameron, so we're going to move on to a few more things. Jared, as a observer that you are, and commentator and commenter, how have you viewed the Adam Treloar situation? And what do your spider senses tell you, and your crystal ball senses as to whether this is over or not?
My crystal ball suggests that... maybe Collingwood have just flouted with the idea of shopping him around.
Oh, yeah. No, you can put that in
here. I'm being kind.
Okay. They did that 12 months ago.
So they've just looked at it and said, he's on big money.
Yeah.
Midfield is not our issue.
Higher than 850, big money.
Huge money.
Yeah. Back-ended.
I like him as a player. I think he's a fantastic player, by the way. I'm not sure. I think they're a running side, Collingwood. I think they're ignoring their, away their strength to, try and solve a weakness. But I understand sometimes you've got to, share the love.
Yep.
And right now they're trying to get a little bit more love in the forward line. I would think, though, that if they move the ball a little bit more quicker, that
he'd be a better player.
Their forward line would be a better player. Their forward line would function more fluidly. So that being said, they've lost Reed. They've lost a few others along the way. Clearly don't have as much faith in Mason Cox as they would like.
They've just paid Darcy Moore big money.
Which
he deserves.
Yep, Darcy Moore's a very good player. But the final piece in their puzzle, they think, is a forward. And they would have been all up for Jeremy Cameron. This may change now. Their language may come out and they may be in the next 24 hours definitive that Adam Treloar is a much loved and much wanted player.
Yeah.
Because Jeremy Cameron is off the table.
I think one of the things that happens in these situations, and it happens because people are so passionate about their clubs, is that Collingwood supporters come out and say, well, hang on, what are we doing shopping Adam Treloar around? Just let me be clear with everyone listening. Every single club does this. There is... although you'd like to say that there are some players that are untradeable, no one is untradeable.
Some people are untradeable.
Nat
Nui is untradeable.
I politely disagree.
Nui is untradeable. Jeremy McGovern is untradeable. Josh Kennedy. Every club's got three or four that are untradeable.
Not at any price, I don't think, anymore. I think clubs are much more willing to deal with anyone that's willing to take offers.
Untradeable five. I'm not talking about now.
At his age. Yeah.
Untradeable 5 years ago. I mean, some people are the heart and soul of the club.
Yeah.
And you are going to lose more than you gain if you think it's just simply a matter of throwing cards on the table.
Okay. What I'm saying to you, Jared, is that there would have been a lot of Collingwood supporters reading these reports saying that he would have been in my five untradeable players because of what he brings to us and because of his run and because of his two-way running, all that sort of stuff. So what happened last year is that the Pies, I think, spoke to his management and said, look, you know, we're hearing that there could be people interested in
an opportunity.
Yep.
For you.
If you get an offer, bring it to us. If Adam gets a contract offer from Gold Coast and it's $1 million a year for 10 years, then it might help us as well, although we'd love to hang on to him because, you know, they would have wanted to pick one from Gold Coast, which helps them get Matt Rowe. Mm. So when I say everyone's tradable, in the perfect moment as the planets align, if someone came to Collingwood and said, will you trade Adam Treloar if you can get Matt Rowe? The answer would have been yes, because we get 900K off the books.
Yeah.
We bring in a kid who we think we could be the next Chris Judd or Joel Selwood, whoever
he is. I accept all that.
Yeah.
But not everybody is tradable.
Okay. Anyway, I think you're right. I think Treloar will stay now after everything that's been said and done. But he probably would have been pretty anxious and nervous of the last 10 days reading all the reports.
I'll tell you what's coming out of all of this. And it may well be the pandemic. It may not be. But we're only, what are we into? We're about 5 years into this trade, this really open-ended
market. Yep.
And what to me is blatantly obvious is that the clubs that are getting themselves into trouble are the clubs that are overpaying their superstars.
No doubt at all.
So let's go back. The original overpay. The original overpay, and I understand the reason, because they were a growing club. Jeremy Cameron got way overs for what he was producing
to stay
at the Giants to stay. And the Suns are probably doing the same thing right now and have done for a generation.
So did Cornelio, by the way.
Cornelio got well overpaid.
Yep. $1 million for 7 years, well overs.
It's massively overs. I mean, he's a...
When you consider that Dangerfield's earning 200 grand less.
Yeah, I mean, massively overpaid.
Dusty's probably the one that you'd have to say...
No problems with Dusty.
Yeah, because he's delivering.
But Dusty's... I mean, you can't compare
what
Dusty has done and what these guys are doing.
And yet the money is comparable, which is crazy.
That's right. And so it comes back to haunt you. Now, the Pies may well have overpaid and overextended the contract of...
Treloar.
The number one ruckman in the game.
Grundy.
Arguably number one ruckman in the game this time last year. 7 years at $1 million. He's not even on that contract yet.
No, it starts next year.
And yet he's had a really average year this year, despite the fact that the umpire's going.
BNF.
Yeah. So you just got to be a bit careful with how much money you're prepared. And I guess the bottom line is you've got to be prepared to lose somebody. But ultimately, most players don't want to leave.
Do you think, Jared, that Geelong are the greatest exponent of not overpaying players?
I think Geelong and the West Coast.
Yeah, and Hawthorn have been pretty good over the years.
Very well, very good. I mean, they were prepared to let
Buddy go.
The best player in the game at the time go because it was going to stuff up their longer-term ambitions.
They won two more flags.
Geelong, exactly the same. They let Gary Ablett go.
Yep.
And yet they won another couple of flags. So
yep, so true.
They are the, I mean, you know, the money that's being paid to Buddy Franklin still hurting the Swans.
Mm.
I mean, they've got a TPP problem. And that's probably why Tom Hickey doesn't get a Guernsey there, because they can't afford him. Mm. They're going to have to find, you know, somebody that's $200,000 less. And Hickey's
probably one of the reasons they pulled out of the Joe Danaher race.
I assume so.
Yep.
So anyway, look, I think it's a really interesting the position we're in. There's clubs learning all the time, but I think ultimately it's going to come back to you have to manage your TPP to win flags. And that means that you've got to get to a point where you almost have to have a system. Your best player gets this. Your second best player gets this minus 2%, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the model that's been down at Geelong for a period of time.
And I know for a fact that's part of the sell of Geelong. When players come to Geelong and Hawthorn is that they actually bring up that graph and say, if you want to go play for Carlton, you probably get 1.3.
Yeah.
But we're going to pay you this because have a look around at the other blokes earning that. Have a look at Selwood. Have a look at Ablett.
Mm.
Have a look at Dangerfield. Have a look at Hawkins.
So the question we posed when Carlton, you know, landed a couple of big fish, one from the Giants, is have they actually now set themselves up for a salary cap problem?
Yeah. Or have they set themselves up for a premiership tilt? or have they set themselves up for both? Anyway, we're running out of time, Jared. And we're
Tom McDonald. There's two clubs. Tom McDonald, marketing-wise, Tom McDonald should go, I'm a fullback. I'm ready to go as a fullback. Bulldogs, I'm your man.
I'm completely with you.
Port Adelaide, I'm your man. Yep. You need me, and I'm going to get back to being an A-grade fullback.
We're
going
to go down the highway and speak to Tom Stewart from the Cats. He's next. Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Fair to say, Jared, it was a pretty significant night of news. Just before we went on air, the Jeremy Cameron decision came through.
You were strong on that all day. You were texting me. You were going to break it. You rattled their cage, and finally they beat you to the punch with a press release.
Yeah, not sure if you saw the phone go across the room or if you were looking at another direction.
No, I did. I saw it.
Okay. Dave Matthews is the CEO of GWS. He answered our call when we made it, and he gave us this insightful interview. Dave, appreciate you coming on. What was your first reaction when you learnt the news of Jeremy's decision?
Look, it was disappointment. I mean, we probably felt this might have been where it was heading, particularly when you see Brian Cook, CEO of Geelong, come out, which is an unusual thing to do. A couple of, I think late last week or early last week, you think, okay, that's, this campaign for a number of years might come off. But, so we probably felt that we might be disappointed. So, yeah, it is disappointing. I mean, he's a foundation player. He's an outstanding young person. And, this is the risk, I guess, when you've got a lot of talent that comes from the South. And, he's been a terrific player for us. And, so disappointment, yes.
So what's the strategy now that you've freed up some space in your salary cap? And maybe it means others don't have to go. But right now, I think your average punter looking at the Giants, say they're now back into rebuild mode, and that's not a dramatic rebuild, but you certainly wouldn't be in premiership contention for next year.
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, I still think it's probably more restructure than rebuild. I think our list strategy has been smart, and we've generally shown a good track record of being able to retain the talent we've got. And Jeremy leaves, it provides opportunity for others, and I think it's more of a restructure. I think our list strategy is pretty sustainable, but I was listening to your introduction. It's a difficult thing for our agency. I think we're on the record a few years ago as saying that one of the biggest risks to the expansion clubs in particular was the free agency system, and it's probably proving that way.
Dave, why do you think Jeremy's leaving GWS for Geelong?
Oh, well, I think, and I'll let him speak to it when you guys access him at some point, but I think you'll find that he's glowing on the club. He's helped build it. So, the culture is something he's contributed to. He's certainly enjoyed his time at the Giants, and I think he has nothing but good things to say about us. But, he's the reasons that get explained are more about family and lifestyle. And, his family's largely in the Western District of Victoria, and, I think that's a factor. But, I was listening to the introduction. I mean, if Geelong was bottom four, I don't think he'd be going there, would he?
No, but it's not as though the Giants are struggling. I mean, I know you guys have had a tough year on the field, but the most successful of all the teams in the previous 4 years when it comes to finals, it doesn't sound like Geelong are throwing $1 million+ at him. So it's just, I'm fascinated as to why he's leaving GWS for Geelong. I mean, we just discussed it. It's a 3.5-hour drive from where he grew up. So it's not as though it's close.
No, but I still think it's just, the sort of southern-based nature of the game. I mean, I know Jared's been an advocate for this for some time, that it's just, we've got to be mindful of the fact that, players are largely managed out of Victoria, players are largely sourced out of Victoria or the southern states. I mean, it's I think there's, it's an inherent bias, and you're working against it when you're trying to retain players. And what we've been able to do is build a strong culture, and we've had on-field success, and they've been the keys to our retention. But that's not to say from time to time, a Victorian player who gives you 10 years service doesn't take up the option that the system provides him.
Do you think if you had access to Kohler, Dave, that it would have been easier to keep Jeremy?
Yeah, look, I mean, I got flagged last week. I know Kohler has an acronym. There's a lot of people up in arms. Look, in the end, there's just an inherent market difference between the various cities in Australia where AFL clubs are based. I mean, I grew up in Geelong. The cost of living difference is probably 20% on Sydney, maybe more from a property point of view. I've said this before, and it's not an issue that just arises out of circumstances around Jeremy Cameron. It's just that the same TPP dollars don't mean you've got the same purchasing power. That's just fact. And you can't really dispute that fact, but that's not to say that, you know, we'd expect any adjustment. It's just, it's there for people to see, but whether or not it eventuates, I mean, it's, I think, you know, part of my point last week about the market differences in costs are, you know, also attributable to the soft cap, that football staff, as we've had to reduce soft caps and therefore renegotiate employment agreements, it gets more difficult to attract or retain football expertise in Sydney. I mean, I was talking to Tom Harley about it. He agrees that, you know, that sort of gets a bit amplified, or certainly amplified by the reduction in the soft cap. So I think, you know, the market differences are one that we just got to have a mature discussion about, but it tends not to be too mature if we throw the acronym of COLA around.
Watching Jeremy Cameron play this late in the year, you could just sense something wasn't right. And in your chats with him, did Jeremy talk to you, or, you know, Zach Williams or Aidan Corr, about that? Was it about money for Jeremy, where the contract was playing on his mind with what had his form go off, or is there something within the team and the dynamic of the team that he wasn't also happy with?
Oh, look, with Jeremy, I think, you know, by his own admission, he found the year very hard. He found the hub circumstances very, very difficult. And I think we've seen examples of where some people have been able to thrive in those circumstances and others have found it hard. I think, you know, the contract situation from our discussions with him wasn't something that would have affected his form too much. But I just know that, you know, by his own admission, he found the circumstances of the hub difficult. Yeah, and Zach Williams' situation, I mean, that's a, you know, significant offer for a young man. That's you know, that's effectively a money decision. But, you know, I don't see Jeremy's as one.
Can I ask you about Josh Kelly, Dave? There was a clause, I think it was a two-year get-out clause, or a clause where he was able to go back to Melbourne if he wanted to, or another club. Is that up now, and is he a flight risk, or is it this time next year?
No, it's this time next year, Jared. Yeah, so there was it's an option that we discussed at the time about, you know, what it would look like if he decided to extend beyond those initial two years. So, yeah, those discussions have pretty much commenced, and things that we'll keep talking about.
Dave, can I ask what was on the menu from a conversation standpoint at Rockpool last week when you had lunch with Jeremy and Stevie J and James Warburton, the head of Seven?
It's a very open and honest conversation. I've known Jeremy since he was 16, 17. He's in the AS Academy. So, you know, we've got a close relationship. We talk about a lot of things. He's very honest about, you know, the factors that were weighing on his mind, and his nieces and nephews and his parents and other things. So, yeah, we talked a bit about all that. We talked about some of the things that he's been thinking about beyond footy. I mean, he's obviously, his major passion's fishing, so that was a big part of the discussion. And, yeah, James Warburton, he's a friend, but he's also obviously a big investor in the game of AFL, and he's a big supporter of the Giants. So it's just an opportunity to have a bit of a broader discussion. And Stevie J's a good mate of Jeremy's too, so it was really just a catch-up that we actually intended to have right on the eve of the season, but then with the pandemic hitting, you know, obviously you can't have players sitting at restaurants with members of the sort of general public, so we held it off but just scheduled it last week, and it was a discussion and obviously aimed at continuing to sort of try to reassure him that this is the place to, you know, be a one club player and finish his career. But, you know, obviously at the present time, that's not to be. And he's, you know, we now go through the process, Sam, as he's a restricted free agent. You know, it's highly likely that we would match the offer from our understanding of what it's likely to be. And then the ball's in Geelong's court to see whether they can satisfy us with the trade.
What's he worth, Dave?
Well, Treloar and Shearer were worth two first-round picks, so they're both very good players, but key forwards are hard to find, so I'm not sure.
That was Dave Matthews there for Giant Bicycles. We are still riding with you. We'll be back same time, 6 o'clock tomorrow.